Shall I do the usual intro then?
Yeah, do your thing. You're so good at it.
I feel you're being sarcastic.
Never! Me?
Earnest.
Me?
Hello and welcome to episode 81 of the Right to Stumble podcast.
81.
Yes. My name is Jimmy, and as per usual, I'm joined by Spanish judge. Still stumbling over the words.
You're very tired today, aren't you?
This episode has a real chance of being a train wreck, but...
Oh no, it's going to be so much fun. Yeah. I've already had a bottle of beer and I'm halfway through a glass of wine, because today is my birthday celebration day. Oh, what? It was my birthday this week. Thank you for asking. Yeah, I had a really good time.
How old are you now, Jazza?
None of your fucking business.
Super old.
I'm 28 years old.
28.
Yeah, I actually find it really annoying when people who are still young, and 28 is still young, go, yeah, oh my god, I'm so old. I'm not. I still have, like, most of my life ahead of me. It's just my best years are behind me now.
Okay. Is that reassuring?
Yeah, it's fine. Wasted most of them. Yeah.
What are we going to talk about this week, Jazza?
I feel like we can't call this another election special, can we? Because we've had several election specials, but we're now going to do a manifesto / debate special. Ooh, it's exciting. Most of the main parties have released their manifestos for the... Most of them.
Has the SNP released their manifesto?
Yes.
Maybe. I know the Greens and UKIP haven't.
They are literally scrapping it out for two MPs.
That's true, yeah. It is true.
Which is, you know, I'm sure I'm going to have a rant about proportionate representation at some point. But most of the major players in this election have released their manifestos.
And also the Lib Dems.
Gut punch. So we're going to talk about those.
Yeah, the Tories, Labour and the Lib Dems, and then we'll mention other things as they come up.
Yeah, like Plaid Cymru, the SNP, UKIP, all of that. Speaking of them, everybody apart from Jeremy Corbyn, all of the leaders of the parties kind of went on a debate on ITV.
But Theresa May wasn't there.
No, Theresa May also wasn't there. So Jeremy Corbyn said he would go if Theresa went. It's like, I'm not going unless Theresa goes. And Theresa was like, well, I'm not going to go because I'm socially awkward. And blah, blah, blah. So it was very similar to the last time we had like a challengers debate.
But last time there was a debate with all the leaders, including Ed Miliband and David Cameron.
Yes, and David Cameron kind of didn't say very much.
Yeah.
Sat on the corner.
He just tried to keep his head down and occasionally, like, battered Ed Miliband.
Well, it worked.
It did.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
But it was Paul Nuttall of UKIP, Leanne Wood of Plaid Cymru, the Party of Wales. She didn't say rhetoric this time, and I was very disappointed. It's one of my favourite moments of the campaign in 2015. Nicola Sturgeon from the Scottish National Party, and Caroline Lucas back in her rightful place as a leader of the Green Party.
She's actually co-leader.
She is
there's
technically co-leader.
There's a guy, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah. And I did. So he does like the admin and she does the PR. Oh. I believe is how it's split out. They're basically job sharing.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. As you do.
I think there's actually a commitment in the Lib Dem manifesto for more job-sharing MPs.
MPs, yeah, yeah. Which is not going to work.
I think...
In the current election system, it is not going to work.
Does no one do it? Is there not, like, a disabled MP who actually has a job-sharing thing set up?
Well, I don't know.
Possibly.
I mean, you're the one bringing it up.
I might have just made that up. Well, possibly.
Well...
Maybe there was a proposal a while back for that to be a thing. And it, you know, it probably should be a thing, on balance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not going to win lots of votes, but it seems
totally
sensible.
Fair. Yeah. Although stuff, democratic stuff like reduction of MPs and all that kind of thing does end up being very popular. The only time that you could actually gain votes from tampering with democracy and MPs' jobs is by making their jobs worse for them. So let's be fair, job sharing probably not the best idea.
What do you mean?
To get votes. Because it's quite a nice idea
yeah.
for the MPs, but everyone else is like, yeah, but you should suffer.
They probably should, you know. They're bad people.
I feel like MPs are actually quite... I've only met a couple of MPs that I disliked.
Well, I don't think I've actually met any MPs that I've actively disliked. But then I haven't really spoken properly to any of them.
It is also technically their job to be likeable as well.
Yeah, or at least not to say anything too offensive, unless they're in UKIP, in which case that's the entire job.
It is literally... We'll get onto UKIP's proposed manifesto policies later on, I'm sure. But could you give me the top lines for Labour, as the man who's just read the manifestos on the train?
I maybe shouldn't have got my notes out before we started doing this.
You maybe so should have.
Maybe you could just keep talking for a little bit while I consult things.
So my flatmate got me a kite and a gnome candle for my birthday.
A gnome candle?
Yeah, it's a candle shaped like a gnome.
Didn't we talk about Labour's like manifesto
last week?
Last week, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything new?
I don't think there is.
Cool.
I think it's roughly the same. They're sort of like soft on Brexit. They're middling on migration. Definitely much more pro it than the Tories. They promised to spend more on the NHS. They promised to set up a national education system that's a bit more like tied up. They're not going to bring back grammar schools, which appears to be getting a lot of people in a tizzy at the moment. And they're going to stand by Trident. They're going to commit to NATO spending.
In the last couple of days, there has been this confusion over Trident because I believe it was Emily Thornberry said that they might end up changing their minds about it.
Yeah,
and then
that.
The defence spokesman said...
Spokeswoman.
Can spokesman not be used for men? I don't... The spokesperson,
yes,
for defence, said, "No, we've already had this conversation. We're definitely going to keep Trident. Thank you. Goodbye, Emily Thornberry." and I feel like that goes right to the heart of why people have such an issue with Labour, because the party itself, even though we're voting for individual MPs and the manifesto actually looks quite popular, the party just looks like an absolute shit show.
Yeah, I think there's just a complete absence of talent on the front bench. Aside from Corbyn, you've got John McDonnell, who is sort of widely regarded as a slightly unpleasant character.
Yeah, he just comes across as kind of evil. It's the eyebrows.
It's also his association with, things like the IRA. He was obviously pictured standing before a Baathist flag giving a speech, the Baathist party being the party of Bashar al-Assad, the Syrian leader, and also Saddam Hussein back in the day.
Was that like a deliberate endorsement, or was it just an unfortunate positioning of himself in front of a flag?
McDonnell and Corbyn have this association with the Stop the War Coalition, which was part of the grouping that organised the Iraq War demonstrations back in the day. But they're quite an unpleasant organisation because they ally themselves.
But I don't think that that's
nasty regimes.
I don't think that that's the kind of stuff that people are thinking about. And I think it's really telling that you haven't seen Tory MPs really go and lean into that kind of narrative when talking about Labour, because frankly they don't need to, because Jeremy Corbyn not singing the national anthem is enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think Corbyn's reputation as being unpatriotic, whether that's deserved or not, is pretty well solidified in people's minds at this stage. And there's a general thing of you don't want to spend too much time talking about your opponent. You want to spend as much time as possible talking about yourself in campaigning.
Theresa and her team.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the point that the Conservative campaigning's all been set around... Theresa May as opposed to the Conservative brand. The most emblematic sign of this is that on the Conservative battle bus, which people have kept pointing out is actually just the Remain campaign's battle bus, but repainted and reposted and whatever. Theresa May's name is massive, and then there's a small Conservative thing.
It's like asterisk on the door. Conservative Party.
Yeah.
There was some interesting stuff. There seems to be a bit of a wage off between the Tories and Labour at the moment. When Ed Miliband proposed there being an £8 minimum wage back in 2015, it was widely seen as being a bit Marxist. And that all of the low-paid jobs would then leave because, I don't know, robots are going to end up cleaning.
Well, the argument against minimum wages is that you effectively price low-skilled people out the market because there's probably people that an employer would say, I'd be willing to employ you for £7.50 an hour, but I can't employ you for £8 an hour because it's not worth my while. And the other, the sort of... the follow-on from that is that companies actually plough more money into capital investments and that sort of thing, i.e. equipment.
So I'm sure Jeremy Corbyn heard all of that criticism, but he doesn't give a shit and he's now going to raise it to a tenner an hour.
Is that across the board or is that just in London?
No, that's the minimum wage.
Everywhere?
Yeah, everywhere is going to be a tenner. Theresa May's...
It's gone for £9.
Gone for £9.
Which
is also, I think, terribly Marxist. What's... Oh, you talk about her choosing £9 and I'll try and find out.
I personally... at this stage, like, the minimum wage is set by a committee, which I think is called the National Pay Commission or something like that. And that seems like a sensible way of doing it. You get somebody to look at the economic data and you make a decision as to where you can set it, offsetting potential job losses against... the fact that people will have more money.
Can't find anything about a minimum wage policy in the Lib Dems, so they
have none.
They don't have one.
After one Google, we can't find it, so it must not exist.
No, I have the manifesto open, and the word minimum isn't even here.
Is living wage in?
Oh, that's a living...
Live fact checking.
No.
Oh, okay.
Living in European Union countries. Very Lib Dem thing to come up. Do you get as frustrated as I do when you have these political games of like, oh no, we couldn't possibly do £8, it's going to completely ruin the economy, and then a couple of years later the same party that has said that then goes on and suggests something even higher? Like, I get incredibly frustrated about it because it's not dealing with facts and it's not kind of trying to do what's best for the country, it's playing a political game.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what to say. I mean, the Tories have long had a reputation for being incredibly unprincipled and basically just being willing to take on whatever policies they think they need to win an election.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly new. It is quite disheartening, I think.
Also, very interestingly, Labour oppose, officially in their manifesto, a second Scottish independence referendum.
They said unless there's a public consent for it, or at least there needs to be public support for it.
So I believe that's what the Conservatives say the Scottish referendum. So the Conservatives say about the Scottish referendum that it can't happen until Brexit has finished, and then there has to be... the public have to support it.
Yes.
And I'm like, I kind of might think that sending the majority of SNP MPs could be grounds for saying the majority of the public support it.
That's probably wrong, though.
Why?
Well, firstly, part of the reason the SNP have so many MPs is because of the first-past-the-post system.
The thing that's going to return the Tories to power with a huge landslide majority?
Yeah, yeah, but... there's that actually the SNP didn't win much more than 50% of the vote, I think, in 2015 in Scotland. It's just because it was in the right places. And secondly, when you ask people explicitly in Scotland whether they support another referendum, a majority say no.
But the fact that that isn't quantifiable, they've just said after public support, what do they count as public support?
Because you don't want to be too explicit about it.
Because then you're gonna have Nicola Sturgeon again saying, "Oh yeah, I'm just gonna we've got a majority of SNP MPs. I feel like that's enough. Blah blah blah. We're the biggest party in the Scottish Parliament. I feel like that's enough."
Yeah, I mean, she will say that. She'll say whatever. She's an ideologue. That's her thing.
Why do you hate our Nicola so much? I think she's brilliant.
No, she's quite annoying. She has a Lego hairdo. Might just be a function of her being quite annoying.
She's also very short.
I don't hold that against her, you know.
Is that because you're short?
Yeah, I'm short. That's true.
If you had a Lego hairdo, you wouldn't hold that against her either.
That's also true.
So we did go into more depth about the Labour manifesto last week. If you'd like to have a look at that with your ears, then feel free to, because I think that we're quite comprehensive there. What did you learn about the Conservatives when you were reading on the train?
So they're massive.
I mean, when you were planning this days in advance.
Yes, yes, yeah. Obviously, they're going down the hard Brexit route, and in connection with that, they want to reduce migration, net migration, to the less than 100,000 mm-hmm. Per year. So that kind of, I think that's probably the most important point of their manifesto, and that actually distinguishes them very clearly from the Lib Dems and Labour. Labour are going for, we want some single market access, and they don't want to actually be pinned down to a specific numerical target as far as migration goes.
Mm-hmm.
And Lib Dems are in a similar sort of position on migration, and they want to have a second referendum on any deal that we get with the EU.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't
really... And then still for there to be an option for us to remain.
If you look at the Lib Dems' position on Brexit, they basically want us to stay in the EU more or less.
Mm-hmm.
They want the arrangements to be so close that it would almost be indistinguishable from mm-hmm. EU membership. Which does strike me as undemocratic, really. They haven't really fallen in line.
That
with
does kind
with
of feel
results.
Like the Brexit that was being proposed by the Leave campaign, though. It's like, oh, we'll leave the EU and keep all of the benefits.
I don't think that's really true. Now, Andrew Neil did Andrew Neil, the BBC presenter, did an interview with Nick Clegg where he actually went through a load of video clips about specifically the whether campaigners from the Remain or Leave side of the vote said that we'd remain part of the single market.
Mm-hmm.
And basically all of them said we were going to leave the single market. There are some examples that you can think of. I think Dan Hannan was a bit more equivocal about that sort of thing. But yeah, it's not really tenable, this line that we were going to remain part of the single market. I do agree with you that obviously the Leave campaign did say we're going to be able to still trade into there, which is true, although not probably in the sense that people interpreted mm-hmm. it as. There was certainly a lot of lying and a lot of deception in the campaign.
Oh, but that happened on both sides.
I think it happened more on the Leave side than the Remain side.
I'm glad you can admit that. Can you explain to me what a double lock pension or a triple lock pension is?
So the triple lock pension...
because this is part, like the Conservative manifesto says that they're going to scrap the triple lock pension
and keep the double lock
after 2020, but replace it with a double lock.
So with the national pension that people get when they retire... there's currently three measures of how it will rise over time. One of them is inflation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think another is potentially a numerical figure. But the idea of it being a triple lock is there's three different measures, and whichever is the highest one, that's how high it rises.
Yeah.
So if it's only a double lock, then there's only two measures. So the odds are that it will rise more slowly over
mm-hmm.
time.
Right, okay. So, or like it might not, though, because one of the things... could still end up
it could be it just makes the obviously if you have three different measures and you're always going to pick the highest one, the odds are that it will be higher under a triple lock than a double lock.
Mm-hmm. So there also seems to be the Conservatives are planning to means test winter fuel payments. For those of you who don't know, is an allowance that is given to old people, to pensioners, so that they don't die of the cold, essentially, so that they can pay for their heating through the winter months.
We are laughing slightly, but actually old people die
of the cold,
every winter,
all the time.
Every winter. Yeah.
It's like an epidemic. They're now going to be means testing this, because it used to be that every person over a certain age was given this allowance, which is ridiculous when there are like multi-millionaires who clearly don't need the extra cash to heat their houses. What do you think is the thinking behind this attack on
the grey votes?
On the elderly, yeah. Who are traditionally Conservatives' core voters? I won't be nasty. I was going to call people bigoted. Anyway, go on.
Well, thank God you didn't do that.
Thank God.
This is an original analysis by any means, but I think it's just a measure of how confident Theresa May feels that she can actually go. She can propose some policies that will hurt the core Conservative vote. If you look at the polling at the moment, people are moving away from UKIP and the Tories' position is looking very, very strong. And I just think that she... basically, old people have got a very, very good deal out of government over the past couple of decades. Mm. And this is just a chance to actually row back on some of those benefits without, you know, losing so much that it damages your position in the House of Commons after a general election.
I remember when they increased tuition fees, it raised something like $3 billion. And so this was in like 2011, 2012, in the coalition government. And I remember somebody also priced up means testing winter fuel allowances, which seems incredibly reasonable so that you're not wasting money on people that don't need this extra cash. And it would have raised, you guessed it, about $3 billion. And this desire to hit the young for that $3 billion rather than to hit old people who are already rich enough to be able to pay for the heating in their houses seemed like a very like core Tory thing and something that was really ideological about protecting the grey vote that they have.
Does the $3 billion figure include the cost of actually...
Oh, I don't know. I'm not even sure if $3 billion was the figure, but they were the same figure.
Right,
it was like $1.2 billion, shall we say five.
Because the main argument against means testing for any benefit is sometimes the cost of means testing exceeds the amount that you're saving, in which case it's pretty much not worth it. You should just give it out as a universal benefit.
More paperwork for tuition fees?
Hmm.
Anyway, what else may I have missed in the Conservative manifesto?
Well, actually, speaking of tuition fees, Labour have promised to scrap tuition fees for university.
Which is interesting, because the Lib Dems aren't promising anything of the sort anymore.
I assume that that's a deliberate thing.
Yeah,
not
they
to
may
raise
have got burned.
The spectre of tuition fees. I don't know. I'm kind of in favour of students contributing some, you know, some money towards the cost of their
education. It was reasonable when it was I think that the amount that I paid, which was three grand a year. It was just under $3,000 a year.
It's now $9,000 a year.
Which is insane. Like, it increased by 300% like that in one academic year.
By 200%.
Thank you.
Obviously, that university education's come in handy.
I did a liberal arts degree. Leave me alone. one of those useless degrees that Paul Nuttall is talking about. I can speak Chinese, but...
It's still pretty heavily subsidised, and I think one of the problems with the current system, I'm very, very sketchy on these details, but I heard that because of the way the loan system works and the default rate among student loans, it's actually costing the government even more than it was previously.
Great.
So it's not been a great policy in that sense. If that is in fact true, you should Google it because I can't remember.
We'll find it. We'll come back to that on a later date. We talked about this with the Labour manifesto last week, right? Because they can just put in a wish list because there's no chance that they're ever going to have to follow through and do anything.
You reckon? You reckon they're operating on that? Put on that. Point of view.
Yeah, I reckon that's what Jeremy Corbyn is operating on. We might talk about the possibility of people breaking away from the Labour Party later on. Tell me more about Conservatives.
So they've committed to spending £8 billion a year more on the NHS by 2022 or 2023. By comparison, Labour have committed to spend £30 billion. I don't know if that's over the same sort of time period. But Labour have committed to spending, putting more money into the NHS. The Lib Dems, by comparison, have committed £6 billion to the NHS. Although in my notes, I haven't actually said over what time period it is. Which is not a useful comparison. But basically, Labour have definitely committed to spending more on the NHS than the Tories. But it's sort of a similar thing from my point of view. The NHS and the housing thing, because all of the three main parties have committed to building more houses. They've given slightly different timeframes for it, but I'm sure last election everyone committed to building more houses, and I don't get the impression that that has actually taken place, and I don't get the impression that any party really has the appetite for all of the legal planning reform be necessary to do that.
Well, it's the same thing for the immigration cap that is in the Conservative manifesto. They are the third time running, third time's a charm, saying that they're not going to, that they're going to reduce migration, net migration, to the tens of thousands.
Yeah, yeah.
Which didn't happen in 2010, didn't happen since 2015. What the fuck are they playing at?
This time they would actually be able to do it. The reason it was stupid beforehand is because the UK had more or less no control over migration.
But they didn't. They weren't even able to reduce non-EU migration.
Yeah, for some reason they chose not to. And I guess that was probably just a classic thing of a politician saying one thing and doing another.
So the thing is, when you look at policies purely, nationwide, I feel like Labour win out brilliantly in terms of like the popularity of policies.
Yeah,
because there's actually some like
polling,
polling on it, and some very unpopular things like means testing of winter fuel allowance, for example,
in the Tory
manifesto. And I'm like, well, maybe we should just get people to vote for policies rather than parties.
But you come up with the most incoherent programme of policies.
Oh, it would be brilliant.
Mental. At least if you've got a political party in power, and this is one thing that you can say in favour of the first-past-the-post system, if you have a singular political party in power, they are at least somewhat accountable for the manifesto. It's like, well, you committed to this in the manifesto, and now you've chosen not to do it, and that's your fault. Whereas if you're in a coalition, or if in your scenario people voted on policies, they'd say, well, you know, it wasn't really our fault. We had to negotiate with the other guys and there had to be some concessions.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what the Lib Dems basically said about tuition fees.
Yeah, I reckon just take out the members of parliament, vote for the policy and get the civil service to run the whole thing. It's basically what they do anyway, to be completely honest.
So cynical, Jazza.
Any last things from the Conservative manifesto before we move on to the parties that will collectively get like 12 MPs?
So there's this thing about them scrapping free school lunches,
which was a
flagship policy when the Lib Dems were in coalition with the Tories, and the Tories are going to replace it with free breakfasts instead. Yeah, I don't know why that's significant, but they've decided to do that.
I mean, so like Leanne Wood said these exact words at the debate, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but it's literally taking food out of kids' mouths to pay for not raising taxes on certain people. Like, I think that is
it
insane.
Taking food out their mouths? It seems like they're just replacing lunch with breakfast. Is breakfast cheaper to provide?
I guess because fewer people have breakfast.
Ah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, cynical Tories, God. One other thing, actually, that we should probably bring up is that the Tories have pledged to scrap the second part of the Leveson inquiry, which would have looked into wider issues around crime at the major newspapers, particularly News Corp, Rupert Murdoch's company.
What does the Leveson inquiry do again? Remind
the
listeners.
The original Leveson inquiry was just looking into the relationship between the press and politicians throughout Tony Blair's years and Gordon Brown's years and then David Cameron's years as well. But the inquiry was circumscribed because there were a number of criminal court cases going on at the time. And those cases have now all been wound up. And as part of the original Leveson plan, they were supposed to launch a second inquiry into more specific details about the crime. But this is now almost certainly not going to happen. It was never looking likely to happen anyway. But one reason that, I mean, obviously that's kind of good for newspapers in general, but it seems like this whole thing about the danger that if you weren't subscribed to a, quote, Leveson-compliant regulator, you'd potentially be opening yourself up to paying the fees of your opponent in court if somebody decided to sue you for libel. And obviously the press were not in favour of this, but even relatively respectable people like Ian Hislop of Private Eye were opposed to it as well.
relatively respectable people.
Well, I don't want to overstate it.
No, he's a BBC liberal shill.
He's a small C conservative, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You can tell from the suits.
Indeed, yeah. And the balding head.
It's completely balded. It's no longer balding.
Is he not got bits
that's
on the side?
No, that's pretty balded.
We actually had Peter Dukes, who covered the phone hacking case as it was going on the podcast a while back. So if you go and listen to that, he'll be able to explain the ins and outs.
If you Google Peter Dukes, the right dishonourable Jimmy is sexy, then that episode will come up.
Yes, I'm sure. That's it. Right. The Tories have no other interesting policies.
I mean, interesting is relative, right? Yeah. So the Lib Dems. So for me, when I skimmed over their policies, they have two really standout things. Everything seems very middle of the road, very sensible. And then they want to legalise cannabis.
Mm-hmm. And also they want to enforce a rule where there'll be no prison sentence for personal use, for possession of drugs for personal use.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the legalisation of cannabis?
I think cannabis is still dangerous, but relatively speaking, compared to alcohol, it's much less dangerous.
Mm-hmm. As the leader of the party, cannabis is safer than alcohol, once told me in a YouTube video.
Well, his policy is kind of on the name tag.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably should be legalised, but there is kind of this... If you've ever met one of those weed heads who's like a zealot about it,
mm-hmm.
And some of them pretend that cannabis is not dangerous at all, which isn't true. It can still like fry your brain if you have too much of it.
But, yeah, sure. But those are extreme circumstances. Like alcohol kills people through cirrhosis of the liver, is addictive. Cannabis is like pretty chill, as you'd probably...
Yeah, it's much safer than alcohol. And yeah, I think it probably should be legalised, but obviously the Lib Dems are going to, you know, win about 12 MPs in this election, so...
Yeah, I mean, it'll be an increase of about, what, 25%? We know how good I am at percentages.
Indeed. Actually, one thing that we didn't mention about the Tories, there's actually a huge vein of kind of prohibitionism that runs through Theresa May's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
There's the whole thing about the Snoopers Charter, which was passed during the course of the now previous Parliament between 2015 and 2017.
Which obliges tech companies to retain data for certain periods of time.
Yeah, among other things. Mm-hmm. It just gives the government far more leeway to actually spy on you in your online activities.
Mm-hmm.
And
loads of gay porn.
Loads of gay porn.
Sorry in advance.
Thanks, Jazza.
Sorry in advance, GCHQ.
But there's also this thing I was reading about how Theresa May wants like tighter controls on things like pornography on the internet, but not even, you know, immoral pornography like child porn and that sort of thing.
No,
just general
just
porn.
Just porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just normal everyday porn.
You're on a real garden porn.
And she's actually in many ways a proper social conservative. You know, she's the son of a.
She's the son of a. Well, she's very progressive for our age.
Yeah, if that was the case, but yeah, and that seems to have been. I wouldn't say it's been entirely overlooked, but people have been so busy taking the piss out of her for being a robot and just saying strong and stable over and over again that fact seems to have been. Obscured.
Y'all are just gonna. I tweeted about this. You're just gonna have to get very used to using proxy servers again.
VPNs, people.
Yes.
Install them.
I wonder if because I used to have to use them all of the time to get onto Facebook when I was in China, and to do anything because I lived with a dissident and we were like phone tapped.
Yeah.
And so I got quite good at it back in like 2009. I'm pretty sure stuff has moved on by now.
Yeah, if you want a virtual private network, you can just go buy one essentially for like a couple of quid a month and then just install it and it just runs in the background. So if you don't want the government knowing what you're doing on the internet for whatever reason...
Oh, I welcome it.
I suggest you do that.
You want to see how I metadata my videos? Go for it, Theresa.
What was the second stand-up policy for the Lib Dems? Because you said cannabis was the first one.
Oh, the Lib Dems?
Yes.
Post-Brexit. What do you think their second standout policy.
I wasn't 100% sure you were going to say that.
Yeah, no, it's the second. It's the second referendum.
Yeah.
But it's not a second referendum as you know it. So this is actually, so back when we voted to leave the EU and I had a breakdown on camera.
on microphone as well.
Yeah, and on microphone. Yeah, no, it's Jimmy's favourite video of mine. Mm. I said that I don't support not instigating the leaving of the EU, but that I did think that the British public should have a say on the terms of our exit, because that was unclear in the questions that we were asked. I still think that that is a good idea. The likelihood of that happening, mind you, I know is incredibly slim, but I still maintain that that's a really good idea.
I don't see how it would work in practice.
Why?
So the idea that the Lib Dems have, as I understand it, is that when we get to the end of the negotiation period, we will have a prospective deal on leaving the EU, assuming the Tories haven't walked away from the table at that point. And the deal will have like various terms of trade and that sort of thing, and you know, the future payments that Britain will probably make into the EU for the foreseeable future.
Donald Tusk would have sealed it with a kiss.
Yeah. And at that point, you have a vote on having a deal or having what exactly? Do you have a vote on just remaining in the EU, or do you have a vote on leaving the EU with no deal at all?
So I think you have a three-way vote. Okay. A referendum does not have to be a binary question.
Right.
So you can have no deal, take the deal, stay in the EU.
So what happens if the vote breaks down at like...
Then you take it into the... So you have...
A runoff.
If nobody gets over 50%, you do a French runoff.
Okay.
So if no one gets over 50%, then you go into a second round.
I guess that would be vaguely possible.
Thank you.
Although it does give the EU a very strong incentive, if we were to hold this referendum, to give us a very bad deal.
Why?
Because if they give us a good deal, we'll be more likely to leave, and by and large, the Eurocrats do not want us to leave.
You mean if the Lib Dems...
If the second referendum happened, in whatever form it happened, it would give the EU negotiators a very strong incentive to give us a bad deal.
I think they already have a pretty strong incentive to give us a bad deal anyway.
Yeah, they do.
I'm not sure the second referendum is the biggest thing on their agenda, to be completely honest.
Well, it would destroy the UK government's leverage.
Which is why perhaps you need to surprise at the end of the two-year process.
Surprise.
Maybe actually this is Theresa May's policy and she's just keeping it under her belt for a rainy day.
That would be pretty sneaky.
Yeah, that's all I really have to... Also, Lib Dems... what's his name? Tim Farron.
Oh, Tim. Did you hear this thing that he said, questioning abortion?
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up in 2008.
What did he actually say, exactly? I can't precisely remember.
He doesn't believe that abortion is morally right.
It should be legal?
Yes.
Okay.
It's gay marriage all over a fucking again. Just be spiritual like the rest of us. You don't need a bloody religion. You clearly don't believe any of it. Anyway.
I think he does believe it. I think that's the trouble.
And he believes in like a Christian God, but clearly doesn't care enough about his beliefs to make them policy, like Theresa May, who believes that porn is wrong because that's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible.
Yeah, Theresa May portrays herself as quite religious when she's asked about it, and yet it's not entirely clear what that means in policy terms or anything else.
Used to mean no to gay marriage. Not anymore.
Mm. You know, people change when it suits them politically.
Yeah.
Like Obama, she evolved on the issue.
I hate politicians. Can't wait to have a break after this fucking election. The debate. There was a debate with people who are going to have, like, no power.
The losers' debate.
Yeah, literally. It was fun. It's your turn to ask me questions
now.
I'm not just going to add.
Did you enjoy?
No. I mean, it was quite funny when Paul Nottle kept on calling Leanne Wood Natalie. And how... No, Paul Nottle, to be fair, was... Gold. I thought he was brilliant.
Apart from the Natalie thing.
But apart from the Natalie thing, everything is because of immigration. Literally everything is because of immigration. How are we going to make things better for children in schools? Well, immigration. Literally his answer.
Well, you know, he's following the template of Nigel Farage, who, whatever question was asked of him, he'd somehow link it back to Europe.
Yeah, it did really kind of drive home how professional Nicola Sturgeon and Tim Farron are at their jobs. They're like seasoned political professionals. Leanne Wood and Paul Nuttall may as well do this in their spare time. Like, they're just... I mean, Leanne Wood is lovely. And has like a nice Valise charm.
There's something a little bit patronising about the fact that every time Leanne Wood comes to national prominence, people are like, oh, that's a really great accent. Obviously not listening to what she fucking says.
It is a great accent. I'm trying to remember anything that she said.
She didn't say rhetoric.
She said she didn't say rhetoric. That's how she said it.
It's quite commanding about some Welsh accents, isn't there?
It's the rolling R's.
Yes.
I guess.
That you didn't remember any policy points.
Wales. She was... So, actually, quite seriously about Plaid Cymru, they have a really interesting position on Brexit now because they were pro-Remain, but Wales voted quite strongly to leave the EU. And so now they, too, have evolved in the issue. So Plaid Cymru are now pretty much the party of, like, soft Brexit because they realise how fucked Wales is going to be if you take out all of those manufacturing jobs from Port Talbot and you take out all of the European funding. So they're doing stuff like pledging to make sure that Wales gets all of the stuff that was promised to it during the referendum, making sure that free market access is continued so that BAE Systems can continue to build aircraft and Airbus can continue to build stuff within Wales, because otherwise they lose a shit ton of jobs. And that was really refreshing to hear, rather than Caroline Lucas and Tim Farron just going, "We won't don't leave. No leave, thank you." Also, it was lovely to see Caroline Lucas back.
Yeah?
She's also very good at her job.
Have you considered voting Green?
No.
You wouldn't consider voting
Green?
Why not? Even though you like Caroline Lucas.
Oh, yeah. If I lived in Brighton, I would vote for Caroline Lucas. Okay. If I liked my local candidate and I thought they had a chance of winning, I might vote Green.
Right.
But there's too many things that I disagree with them on.
Such as
Trident, such as complete privatisation of all public services, regardless as to whether or not it's practical.
Do you mean nationalisation?
Yes. Yeah, why do I keep on doing this I say the opposite of what I mean?
Just to throw our listeners off.
Yeah. Completely. So it's similar to, it's actually the same as the Labour policy.
So Labour wants to nationalise the rails, the Royal Mail.
And utilities.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. As do the Greens. If you're a Green supporter at the moment, vote fucking Labour, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, with Corbyn having pushed Labour quite far to the left, what really is the point of the Green Party anymore? I'm not hating.
Because Caroline Lucas is great. She's lovely. There's also a guy in Bristol West who's quite good. He surfs.
Yeah? Mm. Is that qualification to be an MP?
Nah.
I mean, everyone surfs in Bristol, don't they? It's just a thing.
No, they drink lots of cider and play rugby. Not a huge number of people surf.
So in the losers debate,
yeah,
you had
who was the winner?
You had UKIP, Lib Dems, SNP, Plaid Cymru, and Greens.
Mm.
It was only the five leaders. There wasn't a Tory or a Labour representative.
No, not at all.
So based on that debate, who were you most impressed with? And if you were basing it purely on that debate, who would have you voted for? Do you reckon?
The regional parties.
Yeah.
Plaid and SNP, I think, did really, really well.
Okay.
SNP mainly. I should just.
It's a shame for most people that they can't actually vote for those parties.
Yeah, which is really annoying. Also, there were questions on stuff like education and the NHS, which are completely devolved to the Welsh Assembly and to the Scottish Parliament. And then they got to say what they would do completely unopposed by anybody else because nobody knows how it works in Wales or Scotland.
Our system is fucked.
It
doesn't make any sense.
No, none at all.
No. It's terrible. So who... Based...
Who won?
Not who won, but...
The public.
Did we though? I'm sure we've been on a losing streak.
I wonder what the ratings were for it, actually. Because it does feel pretty pointless.
Where
I think there's going to be another two.
On the whole debates thing? Because I'm actually not that bothered with TV debates.
I think they are really important in making sure that as many people get to see the leaders up there and against each other and opposed, like quite vividly. And it breaks people out of like echo chambers. Which very rarely happens in campaigns,
I suppose,
especially in this country,
more,
that are
more
very
likely
regional.
To see sound bites from a TV debate than they are to read a manifesto.
And what I would actually prefer is if that kind of a format were more prolific and more accessible across each of the constituencies, because actually we have a load of presidential elections happening in this country, basically, in each constituency. You're voting for the person who's going to then represent you at Parliament, and the biggest party is then going to choose the Prime Minister.
People do have hustings in most constituencies.
They do, but they are hidden away so that only the nut jobs go. Like I
think only the nut jobs would go anyway.
They don't even bother to have one in Newham because Lynn Brown, yeah, she's my MP. Brown has like a 60% majority, so she's just like, I'll just hang out. I actually tweeted her today, this week, and been like, hey, haven't seen you at all. Where are you? She was like, well, I've been around here and I've been around there and I've just kind of been hanging out. And I'm like, cool. Still have had, like, I've lived here for 3 years, haven't seen you over two elections, or the London Assembly elections, or the referendum at all. The Lib Dems are here all of the bloody time. Where are you? And she's like, the Lib Dems are campaigning in this seat? And I went, yes. And she went, interesting. And then the conversation on Twitter ended.
So a successful interaction from your point of view, then.
I really... really hate being in such a safe seat.
Who are you going to vote for then? Do you know?
Does it matter? Might go Women's Equality Party.
Are they standing in your constituency?
I don't know yet, because also it's that information is really hard to find out.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find.
They're not allowed. They're not allowed to tell you, like, explicitly who is running. The Electoral Commission aren't allowed to tell you who's running in your constituency.
But do they not publish who's standing before the vote?
Nope.
You only find out.
I mean, so obviously people have their websites and stuff, but they're not allowed to have, and like publications can say, here's the people who are running in your constituency, but the Electoral Commission aren't allowed to do anything like that, or don't do anything.
Doesn't
like
the council in each kind of area publish who's standing?
Nope.
I'm sure I read that
on
the government website.
Nope, looked it up.
Okay, that's crazy. What? I mean, how is that a thing?
Don't know. Maybe cannabis is stronger than alcohol are going to stand in my constituency again. That'll be fun. They're always allowed.
You might turn up at the, you know, the polling booth and actually a completely different range of parties stood.
Yeah, I might. Like, obviously, I have to vote. But being in such... And for all of the people that I've been encouraging to use their vote properly on YouTube, cover your ears. or take your headbuds out. But I may as well just, like, piss on the ballot paper.
I'm considering spoiling my ballot this time around, because the...
I might write an essay. I need to practice anyway. I've got a master's thesis coming up.
It won't be a very long one. The voting slip is not very large.
1,000 words?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could put 1,000 words in there. Who are you going to vote for?
As I said, I'm not sure. The problem from my point of view...
Who are you leaning towards?
I don't think I'm leaning towards anyone at this point.
Who are you leaning away from?
All of them. they're all awful. I like the Tories' position on Brexit, but also they support fox hunting. And, you know...
Oh, God, how have we managed to avoid that? Where the fuck has that come from?
Just came out of nowhere.
Like, all of a sudden, oh, yeah, sometimes it's really hard to control control fox populations. It's like, well, we do have like hunting parties that go out and shoot them humanely, like in the head. It's like, no, but there's something really cultural about ripping a fox in two with trained hounds.
I mean, there is something cultural about it, but, you know, there's something cultural about
ISIS throwing people off of towers.
Yeah, exactly, you know, that's not really a defence.
Anyway.
Yeah, the Tories have, like, they have, like, the Snoopers Charter thing. They have Theresa May generally being a bit of a fascist. And then you have Lib Dems, who I would normally vote for. But I don't...
But you hate them because of Brexit.
I don't hate them because of Brexit. I just fundamentally disagree with their position on Brexit. And then you have Labour and you have Comrade Corbyn and his IRA-supporting chums and his general fucking...
But what about your... So this is how a lot of my friends who voted Miliband in 2015...
I could have voted for Miliband.
And announced it. I could have, but...
At the time, I was in a Lib Dem Tory marginal, so I voted Lib Dem, but...
That went tits up.
I mean, it did, literally, yeah.
What do you mean by literally? Like, in, somebody fell over?
As in my constituency, it flipped from Lib Dems to Tories.
Oh, like, so. No actual boobs were involved.
That's well, there are a couple of boobs who were standing to be MP, but aside from that...
Don't... casual misogyny. But I have a lot of friends...
I think boob is a general phrase that you can use to describe an idiot.
Oh, I thought you were talking about women.
I don't think there are any women standing in my constituency.
Oh, 2017.
Yes.
But I have a lot of friends who are justifying voting Labour by voting for local candidates, by completely distancing the whole idea of Jeremy Corbyn being in charge of anything, which I think is best for everybody involved.
I do.
And just wanting there to be a representative who they like.
I do see that logic, although... Clearly, if they're not going to publish the details of the individual candidates who are standing in my seat, that's going to be a difficult thing to research. But I know that if I vote, every vote for a Lib Dem is a vote that Tim Farron will say, this is a vote for a second referendum. In much the same way Nicola Sturgeon said, every vote for an SNP candidate is a vote for another referendum.
So
irrespective of whether that was true
or not.
You won't
be voting SNP then?
No, I don't think so. And in the same way that Theresa May will say every vote for a Tory candidate is a vote to ban pornography and bring back fox hunting, you can't win with these people. They won't interpret your vote just as a local candidate vote, and it won't work out that way anyway.
So spoiler ballot.
I think so. Yeah.
Great.
Potentially.
I was feeling quite chipper towards the middle, and now you've completely deflated me. You can... thank you for listening, dear listener. You're dear and a listener.
Yes.
Find us on the internet at Right Dishonor on Twitter. I'm at Jazza John. Jimmy's at JDE Nichols.
And you can find us on rightdishonorable.com too.
Oh, the website.
The website.
We pay for money for the domain, so please go there. And also leave us 5 stars, no fewer, thank you. And also
iTunes,
leave us a review.
You never
on
say
iTunes.
On iTunes. That's
they
just
know
confusing.
What I mean.
I don't think they do. They don't leave reviews, so they obviously don't know what you mean.
Feel sorry for this, Governor. I always take you seriously. Listener engagement, where we engage with the listener. Hey.
I think you're getting better at that.
It's almost like there's a rhythm now. So we do this thing with our mate John, who's sometimes a guest on the podcast, called the Culture Cast, which we really should rebrand at some point. But
the name is not good. Please send in suggestions for a better name.
Oh, please. We'll pay you no money for the rights. And the three of us react and overanalyze and think too deeply about particular popular cultural
things.
Things.
Yes.
So we've done.
Media.
Yeah, Madia. Yeah. So we've done the Star Wars movie, Batman versus Superman, and I recently made John and Jimmy watch the first episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9. Jimmy was suitably flat throughout was not 100% into it, but I think that we had a really interesting discussion about drag art.
Not all the viewers on your YouTube channel agreed.
No,
I think it's safe to say.
So some people flat out called you homophobic.
Oh really? What particular bit of what I said was homophobic?
I think it was actually John. John definitely got a lot more hate than you did. I'm just going to say.
That makes sense. He's a pretty disagreeable guy.
This video is so homophobic and misogynous. White straight male using feminism to discredit the fight of gay man, as if straight man were in a place to talk any shit about both subjects. You're disgustingly prejudiced.
So I get the ad hominem attack, but what else is he trying to say?
I don't really know.
Misogynistic.
You're clearly a misogynist. Yeah. Also, people seem to be really annoyed by the fact that you didn't seem to take any joy out of it. So it was basically straight guys watch RuPaul's Drag Race and don't understand any of it and don't even try to attempt to be interested.
I try very hard to be interested. It was just horrendously boring.
I still think that you didn't give it enough of a chance.
I did try. I mean, I watched most of the first episode.
Somebody went, yes, God.
Yes, God.
Yes, God.
I see.
Right. It's a drag thing.
Yeah.
It's fascinating that. How much they analyse the show. I'm sure
that's
if
the fucking point of the fucking culture cast.
But they wanted, and also, one of my viewers said, how can you not live for lip syncing for your life? Remember the your balls retracted into your body?
Yeah, that was...
Can I just say, when I was editing that... So, actually, the video only shows our reaction to one lip sync.
Yeah.
I showed them three. and all the way through, when I'm editing them, like, face-to-face, your faces are just completely, like, deadpan. It's as if you're watching paint dry, and there's two men dressed as women flailing around doing the splits in front of you, and you're just like, And that was the only... That clip that I used was the only time that you had any kind of a reaction to any of it.
I'm sorry, man. It's just men dressed as women dancing.
Anyway, somebody said that this should become a series, so I might just get straight friends, in quotation marks, to react to gay things.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just footseed you a little bit under the table accidentally. Yeah. Hey.
To gay things. Hello.
Oi, oi.
This flirting really has to stop, Chaz. Really inappropriate.
But it's the basis of the whole podcast.
Is it? I haven't noticed.
Well, yeah, exactly. Just like you with the watching of the lip syncs. Oblivious to everything.
I was taking it in, just, you know. No reaction whatsoever.
You can watch that video, because I really fucking enjoyed it. I liked it. I think it's quite
a good video. Even if we do things and that offends idiots on your channel. You know.
You can find it on Rhyming with Oranges, which is my YouTube channel. It's called, very clickbaitily, Straight Guys React to RuPaul's Drag Race for the First Time, which is a very long YouTube title. I had to take out British. It was going to be British Guys. British Straight Guys. Because, like, people love that shit. Also, they deliberately didn't have a picture of any of us in the thumbnail because we're not really attractive enough for clickbait.
That's true.
Next time.
You could have said UK straight guys.
Nobody is searching for... Americans say, oh my god, are you British? They don't say, oh my god, are you UK?
Yeah, but I think Google's algorithm sort of uses synonyms.
Does it?
I think so, yeah. I'm throwing it out there.
So Brexit in Google was also UKexit.
UKexit? I don't think so. No. It's when you Google something, sometimes it highlights synonyms as well as the words you Googled. So there, QED.
Do we have any other feedback?
I don't think so. There's a guy offering to defend me on Twitter because of the slating I got on your YouTube channel.
Oh, bless.
Yeah, Kenneth Claydon. Thank you very much.
Oh, I love Kenny. Yeah. He tweets me a lot.
Yeah.
Kenneth is lovely.
He says, I'm boring too, referring to the fact that I'm boring, because I find drag irritatingly bad. There you go, solidarity.
No, but drag is good. It's objectively good.
It's objectively
good. It's objectively a really interesting art form that you have no appreciation for.
Hmm. Sure, why not?
Great, good. there was also a couple of people that were like, oh God, I thought I was a social justice warrior. I'm talking about
John. It's amazing how many people John manages to offend. He tries so hard not to.
He tries so hard not to offend anyone, but as a result, offends everyone. Anyway, shall we go now?
We probably should.
All right, toodaloo. Love us.